Binabati ko kayo mga kapatid sa pangalan ng ating Panginoong Heso Kristo. After several Sundays of necessary interruption in our series on Sunday School, we will be continuing now that series in Christian Holiness at tayo ngayon ay tumatalakay pa rin sa Standards of Holiness. And just by way of review, why is the Standard of Holiness very necessary? Because without a standard, we cannot define sin or holiness. Ano ba ang kasalanan? Ano ang kabanalan? Kailangan natin ng pamantayan. And that standard is no less than God Himself. God being holy, He requires of His people that they should be holy as He is holy. Pero hindi tayo pwede magkanya-kanya kung anong pagiging banal ng Diyos, kaya inilagay sa kasulatan kung ano ang masasabi nating kabanalan ng Diyos sa iba't ibang pamantayan, at ito ay makikita natin na specific. Hindi ito general and vague. There is a specific target when it comes to the standards of holiness. We have seen the Ten Commandments. We will be looking at the Kingdom of Christ, and then after that is the example of Jesus, and then the last is the fruit of the Spirit. Now of this, the Ten Commandments pertain to all of mankind, and it covers both the Old and the New Testaments. But beginning with the Kingdom of Christ, we are dealing with New Testament concepts and those that pertain to the believer in Jesus Christ. So having done with the Ten Commandments or the Decalogue, I want us now to begin consideration of the Kingdom of Christ. This is a profoundly important subject, but unfortunately, it is well nigh at many Christians are well nigh in the dark concerning this important subject. So in this first lecture on the Kingdom of Christ, I just want to focus on the concept of the kingdom. Nang lalangin ng Diyos ang tao, masasabi natin na walang kasalanan sa sanlibutan, sa buong mundo, kaya't ang buong mundo ay masasabi nating kaharian ng Diyos. And man was given dominion in Eden. He is the regent of God. He exercises the kingship that God has over His creation, and Adam was His regent. But of course, we know what happened when man fell into sin. He was driven away from Eden. And that also means it affected the whole of creation. It marred the whole of creation. And therefore, the kingdom can no longer be equated just with creation. Sometimes may ganyan pa ring language sa scriptures, but more often the kingdom is now distinguished from the whole of creation. But at the very moment of the fall of Adam and Eve, we have what is known as the Proto-Evangelium, the first gospel. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So right at the fall of man, the covenant of grace, as it is called in theology, began to unfold. Na makikita natin na gumagawa na ng paraan ng Diyos upang tipunin ang kanyang mga tao na siyang bubuo ng kanyang kaharian. Kaya ang masasabi natin ay since the fall, only chosen and willing subjects constitute the kingdom. Hindi lahat na ay nasa kaharian ng Diyos. Kinakailangang ikaw ay nagpapasakop ng buong layat kusa, ngunit nangyayari ito dahil sa paghihirang ng Diyos. At sa lumang tipan, ito ay kinakatawan ng Israel. Israel became prominently and principally and exclusively the kingdom of Yahweh, the way other nations were not. In fact, not even the whole creation was the kingdom of Yahweh, but only Israel. This is so clear in Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Pansinin ninyo dito that God still maintains His ownership of the whole creation. Sabi niya, the whole earth is mine. Pero hindi lahat ay kanyang kingdom. ang kingdom lamang ay ang kanyang kinatipan na bayan, at ang kinatipan niyang bayan ay ang Israel, hindi ng ibang mga bansa. Kaya't ang kaharian ng Diyos sa lumang tipan ay nasa bayan ng Israel. At sa bayan ng Israel, nang ito nga ay maging kaharian na, ay pinili ang pinakamagiting, pinakahuwaran na hari ng Israel upang gumawa ng panibagong tipanan ng Diyos. It was God's covenant with David, even as he was the model king of Israel. He made a covenant with him at the point that David wanted to build a house for the Lord. Instead, God promised him in a covenant through Prophet Nathan. At ang laman ng tinatawag na the Davidic covenant ay out of David's descendants, a kingdom that will be ruled by him will have no end. Ang sinabi sa 2 Samuel 7:16, "And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever." So ang Israel ang kaharian ng Diyos, ngunit mula sa bayan ng Israel, naroon ang pinakahuwarang hari na si David, at mula sa angkan ni David ay bubuo ang Diyos ng isang kaharian na walang hanggan. Naging mahalaga ito sapagkat nakita na ng Diyos ang mangyayari sa Israel. The Davidic dynasty was terminated because of the nation's apostasy. Nang lumayo, tumalikod ang bayan ng Israel sa kay Yahweh, nawala ang angkan ni David na nagahari. Ang pinakahuli ay si Zedekiah, ngunit siya ay binihag ng Babylonia, and practically the throne of David was gone. But does that mean that the covenant no longer was in operation? Of course not. Makikita natin na sa lumang tipan, a coming son of David became the substance of Old Testament hope. At yan ang ipinangaral ng mga propeta sa lumang tipan, that a Davidic throne will be re-established. At sinabi yan sa Isaiah 9, mahilig nating isitas ang verse 6 kapag Pasko, that to us a child is born, and to us a son is given. But verse 7 tells us the purpose of the birth of that divine son. Ang sinabi, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Kaya dito makikita natin na pinanatili ng mga propeta ang pangangaral na mangyayari at magaganap ang pagtitipan ng Diyos kay David, na may isang kahariang bubuuin na hindi na mabubuwag kapag dumating ang isang nasa angkan ni David. Isa pang mahalagang propesiyang ginamit ng ilang ulit sa bagong tipan ay about David's son, who yet is David's Lord. In Psalm 110 verses 1 and 2, "The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. The Lord will extend your mighty scepter from Zion. You will rule in the midst of your enemies." Kaya propesiya ito sa darating na hari na angkan nga ni David, anak ni David, subalit si mismo si David ay tinawag na Panginoon nito. Alam niyo, ginamit ito mismo ng ating Panginoong Hesus upang hamunin ang maling konsepto tungkol sa kaharian doon sa kanyang kapanahunan. Kaya saan nagkaroon ng katuparan ito? That hope was fulfilled in Jesus, and particularly at His resurrection. In the announcement to Mary that she will conceive in her womb the son to be born, which is of the descent of David, ganyan na ang lingwahe na ginamit ng anghel na si Gabriel in Luke 1, "You shall call his name Jesus, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." So you see the language reminiscent of the Davidic covenant now being announced to Mary, beginning its fulfillment in the child that is conceived in her womb. Pero ang pinakamismong katuparan nito ay sa kanyang pagkabuhay na muli. It was fulfilled in Jesus' resurrection, and I want to emphasize that we believe in the literal physical resurrection of Jesus. He rose from physical death, and that is why one of our arguments for the resurrection is that there is an empty tomb. Pero ano ba ang nangyaring mahalaga nang si Jesus ay nabuhay mula sa mga patay? Sa unang pangangaral ng Iglesia sa katauhan ni Pedro sa Day of Pentecost, binigyan na ng pagpapahalaga ang pagkabuhay na muli ni Jesus bilang katuparan ng tipan kay David. Ganitong sinabi niya sa Acts 2:30 following, "Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him," that is David, "that of the fruit of his body according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he," David, "foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption." So ang pag-upo raw, pagkaluklok sa trono ni David na siyang laman ng Davidic covenant ay nagkaroon ng katuparan sa pagkabuhay na muli ni Jesucristo. Sa makatwid mula nang siya'y mabuhay na muli, mayroon ng kaharian, naghahari na ang Panginoong Jesucristo. Kaya pag-ibahin natin dito, may mga nagsasabi na, hindi ba talagang hari naman ang Diyos? Si Jesucristo ay Diyos, sa makatwid siya ay dati nang nagahari. Pag-ibahin natin dito ang tinatawag na cosmic rule, this is inherent sovereignty over His creation being God. Hindi natin tinatanggi yan. Pero ang paghahari na tinutukoy natin sa pinag-uusapan natin ngayon ay ang tinatawag na mediatorial rule. Ang kanyang pamamahala bilang tagapamagitan, ito ang pamamahala niya para sa layunin ng katubusan. This is his rule for the purpose of redemption. And when we talk of the kingdom, we are talking of this mediatorial rule, not the cosmic rule. As I've said, the whole of creation remains belonging to God, but it is no longer the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is constituted by those who are willing subjects chosen in grace by God. Kaya ang buong creation, yan ay sa Diyos pa rin. Hindi natin tinatanggi yan. Ngunit sa buong creation, there is only that portion of willing subjects that constitute the kingdom of Christ. At ang mga tunay na mananampalataya ang kabilang doon. Kaya iwasto natin dito ang ilang mga maling konsepto tungkol sa kaharian. Kapag pinag-uusapan ng kingdom of Christ, there are some popular wrong ideas that we need to correct. Ang isa na ay the idea of a territorial kingdom, a kingdom that is defined by physical boundaries. Naiintindihan ko kung bakit may ganyang konsepto ang marami, sapagkat kapag ginamit natin ang salitang kingdom ngayon na tumutukoy sa mga bansa, siyempre ang iniisip natin ay ang kanilang territory. Halimbawa, the United Kingdom is comprised of the countries of England, Wales, Northern Ireland, Scotland. Yan ang tinatawag nating United Kingdom, and they are territorially defined. But that is not the kingdom of Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, it was territorially defined by Israel, but that is no longer the case in the New Testament. And then, isa pang popular idea is known as the pietist idea. Itong nagsasabi na there is a kingdom in the sense that Christ rules in the heart. So they are making the kingdom individual and subjective. Now, I will not deny, in fact, I will affirm that Christ rules in the heart of the believer. Kung tunay kang mananampalataya, Panginoon mo si Kristo, dapat siya'y namamahala sa iyo. But that is the result of His kingdom. That is not His kingdom. That is the result of His being King, but His kingdom is singular and objective. The way the Davidic kingdom was, at ang pangako ay merong angkan si David na siyang mamamahala ng isang kaharian na hindi na mabubuwag. At pag sinabi nating objective, wala ito sa loob mo. Ito ay nasa labas, nandyan na si Kristo sa labas natin. Siya ay nasa kanan ng Diyos, nagahari mula pa nang siya ay mabuhay na muli mula sa mga patay. At isang popular yet wrong idea na common among evangelicals today is the dispensational view. This is not the time to study comprehensively dispensationalism, but its basic idea of the kingdom is that it is a millennial reign by Christ as fulfillment of promise to Israel, na si Jesus ay maghahari ng 1,000 taon bilang pangako sa Israel. Maghahari siya in a political kingdom where Christ sits in Jerusalem as King of the Earth. At ang maraming problema dyan, mga mangangahulugan na babalik ang mga sakripisyong handog ng mga hayop ng Israel na sinabi sa Hebreo ay natapos na at naganap na, at mababalik na naman ang mga pangunguna ng Israel sa mga bansa. Now, again, this is not the time to comprehensively critique this view. Let me just simply say that the promises to Israel in the assertion of the New Testament are fulfilled in the church. Ang mga karamihan ng mga pangakong pang-Israel na pangkatubusan ay nagkaroon na ng katuparan sa iglesia. Kaya nga tinawag ni Pablo ang iglesia in Galatians 6:16 as the Israel of God, because this is now the new Israel in the New Testament. Kaya ang punto natin, kaya mali ang mga idea na yan, ay sapagkat Christ is now a ruling king, but only believers are its willing subjects, not a particular race in a territory, not an individual subjective experience. Whatever you experience, Christ has ascended to his throne when he rose from the dead. He is now a king, but only believers are the subjects of the kingdom. Kapag tayo ay naligtas, ang nangyayari, sabi ng Colossians 1:13, he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Kapag tayo ay naligtas, naranasan natin ang katubusan, inililipat daw tayo mula sa kadiliman, pamamahala ng kadiliman, doon na tayo sa kaharian ng kanyang anak na inibig. Sa makatwid, may isang kaharian na doon tayo idinadala kapag tayo ay naliligtas. Kaya isang magandang pagpapaunawa dito ay ang konsepto ng two ages. There are two ages. There is this age which is associated with sin, suffering, defeat by enemies, everything that reminds us that we are in a fallen world. That is this age. And then there is the expectation of the age to come. And the age to come is associated with salvation, restoration, victory. And in the old expectation, this age and the age to come are separated by the coming of the Messiah. Ibig sabihin, this age terminates when the Messiah comes and the age to come begins. That's the old expectation. But then something happened that altered or modified this scheme. This age is continuing. However, Jesus came during this age. Christ came and he is the Messiah. So what happened to the old expectation that when the Messiah comes, this age terminates and the age to come begins? Well, hindi ganun mismo ang nangyari, kundi when the Messiah came in Jesus, this age still continues, but the age to come has broken into this age. Kaya hindi nawalang saysay ang pag-asa doon sa lumang tipan na darating ang panahon na kapag dumating ang Mesiyas, eh, nagsimula na ang panahong darating. The age to come has broken into this age. Parang nilooban, ang parang sinakop o nilusob ang panahong ito. Kaya this age still continues, but the age to come has broken into this age. And what do you think is the result when you have these two ages in conflict with each other? We experience the conflict as believers. No, we have that conflict not because of the so-called two natures we have. We do not have two natures. We are just one person with one human nature. But because a Christian belongs to both ages, we are still in this age, but in Christ we already belong to the age to come, there is going to be conflicts. At nararanasan natin yan sa dalawang larangan bilang bahagi ng iglesia, pero bahagi pa rin ng mundong ito. We are still in this age, the age to come has broken in, and the church represents the age to come. And the age to come is challenging this age. How? Paano hinahamon ng age to come ang this age? Sa dalawang paraan, una ay through the righteous life of believers, sa pamamagitan ng matuwid na pamumuhay ng mga mananampalataya. Sinasabi nila na may iba nang namamahala, hindi na ganyan ang buhay ng makamundo ng mga nakay Kristo na papamahalaan sila ng paghahari ni Yesu Kristo. So through the righteous life, they are showing a different kind of life. And then through proclamation, through the message of the gospel, we are inviting the world who still belongs to this age to join us in being under the rule of the age to come, or the kingdom of Christ. So the age to come is now challenging this age through the church. But of course, this age is not taking it passively or lying down. So in another way, these two fronts are in conflict from the perspective of this age with the age to come that has broken in. What this age is doing is the age to come is tempted by this age. Kung kanina through righteous life and proclamation, the age to come is challenging this age, but through two things as well to counterpart the righteous life and proclamation, una ay a worldly life. Tinutukso ng panahong ito ang darating na panahon na magpakamundo. At kung ang isang Kristiyano ay magpakamundo, ay nawawala ang kanyang patutuo na merong nangyari na dahil sa pagdating ng Panginoong Hesukristo. Gusto ko lang sabihin, isa sa pinakamasakit na masabi ng isang tagamundo sa isang Kristiyano ay wala naman tayong pagkakaiba. Eh kapag nasabi yan sa iyo, tanggal lahat ng bisa ng iyong patutuo. And also this age is tempting the age to come by a compromised message. And there is so much of that in our day na kinukompromiso ang mensahe na natatakpan ang hamon ng pagkapanginoon ni Hesukristo. Kaya dito ay makikita natin that the age to come is now tempted by this age to conform the church. Tinutukso ng panahong ito ang dumating na panahon kay Kristo na makibagay sa mundong ito at dapat na hindi tayo pumayag. Pero ito ang isang pangako. This age, which is broken into by the age to come, Christ has defeated this age. And the age to come will overcome this age. At mangyayari iyon when Christ returns. Ngayon ay naghahamok pa, naglalaban pa. Pero when Christ returns, there will be the final consummation, and the age to come will be consummated at Christ's return, and this age will be judged. Yan ang pag-asa natin. Kaya patuloy ang conflict, ang paghahamok, pero may inaasahan ng Kristiyano na pagtatagumpay ng lubos sa pagparito ng Panginoong Hesukristo. So let us consider the two aspects of the kingdom of God that has already come in Christ. There is an inauguration aspect. Christ already began His reign at the resurrection. May pinasimula na. Nandito na ang dapat ay doon pa sa huling araw. Nagsimula na ngayon dahil kay Hesukristo. So there is the language of the already now. Nakita na natin sa Colossians 1:13, already transferred into the kingdom of His dear Son. We are already priests and kings according to Revelation 1:6. Kaya't merong kingdom blessings and responsibilities now. Hindi tayo naghihintay lang ng kahariang darating, kundi dito ay may mga pagpapala at pananagutan na bilang bahagi ng kaharian. Makikita natin ito sa itinurong panalangin ni Jesus. In Matthew 6:10, we are taught to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So hindi tayo naghihintay na sumalangit bago tuparin ang kalooban ng Diyos na natutupad sa langit, ay maari na rin tuparin dito sa kalupaan. Pero ang pinakatagumpay natin at kalubusan ay sa consummation. The fullness of the kingdom is yet to come at the return of Christ. So there is a not yet. Merong hindi pa at may hinihintay pa ang mananampalataya. So kingdom perfection is not possible until the end of time. Yan ang tension na nakikita at nababasa natin sa Biblia, na kung minsan ay sinasabing ganito na ang Kristiyano, narito na, at kung minsan sinasabing hindi pa lubos at may hinihintay pa. Both are true because there is an inauguration aspect, there is a consummation aspect in the kingdom of Christ. Anong kahulugan ito sa ating buhay ng pananampalataya bilang humahawak sa pamantayan ng kabanalan? Ang tawag ni Martin Luther sa isang Kristiyano sa Latin, simul justus et peccator. He is justified and sinner at the same time. Nararanasan natin ang pareho, hindi dahil sa dalawang kalikasan natin, not because of the so-called two natures, a popular but wrong teaching. It is the whole person that experiences both the righteousness as well as the remaining sin. Kaya ang buong pagkatao natin ay merong holy thoughts and attitudes which result in holy words and deeds because we are redeemed. But the same person, because we are only partially redeemed and still are sinners, we also have evil thoughts and attitudes which result in evil words and deeds. Sa mga tuwid, kingdom holiness is the obedience by the whole person to the rule of Christ. Tayo ay bilang buong tao sumusunod sa pamamahala ni Kristo. Pero kung tayo nagkasala, it is the Christian sin also as a whole person because we still have remaining sins. At ang itinuturo nito sa atin ay, we pursue full holiness now, but its perfection will only be attained at the consummation when Christ returns. Kaya't meron ng pagpapakabanal ngayon nang dahil sa Jesus ay hari na. Kaya ito ay isang bagay na pamantayan natin sa bagong tipan na hindi pa totoo sa lumang tipan. Sa bagong tipan, naging hari si Jesucristo dahil sa siya'y nabuhay na muli, mas may dahilan na magpakabanal ang isang mananampalataya sapagkat siya'y pumapailalim sa pamamahala ng ating Panginoong Jesucristo. Kaya napakahalaga na suriin natin ang ating sarili kung sa ating buong pagkatao, bagamat nararanasan pa natin ang magkasala sapagkat hindi pa lubos ang ating katubusan, ngunit nararanasan din ba natin ang magsikap na magpakabanal, na ang dahilan ay may pamantayan tayo na namamahala si Kristo. Meron siyang pamamahala sa atin at tayo ay nagpapasakop sa pamamahala na yun. Suriin mo ang iyong sarili. Maraming salamat sa iyong pakikinig. Sana kayo ay nakinabang at muli pagpalain kayo mula sa pag-ibig ng Diyos, sa biyaya ng Panginoong Hesukristo at sa pagkikipisat ng banal na Espiritu.